You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Budden in the studio. It's day three of Royal Ascot. Plenty to look forward to there. The feature race being the Ascot Gold Cup. Alongside that, we've got Chelmsford City and Ripon in the afternoon. It's Fosslass, Leicester and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. Did you enjoy the first day of Royal Ascot?
I did enjoy it. I got it all wrong, but nevertheless, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. We'll just take a quick look back at some of the star performers, if you like, from the first day. Starting in the very first race, the Group 1 Queen Anne Stakes went the way of Solo, who's one of the best around at the moment, isn't he?
He certainly is. He's going to pick up the mantle of Ceres de Zegel, isn't he? He's one of those tough-as-teak geldings who keep going on and on and on. Homebred by the Worthmire brothers and brilliantly placed by Freddie Head. Real bunch. Lump of a horse, isn't he? It's a good job he is a gelding, really, because he was still a colt. He'd be practically impossible to train or ride, I would imagine. But a really good performance, and I think we're going to see him next in the Sussex Stakes. Now Watering Clash with Glen Eagles might be on the cards, I understand.
That would be something to look forward to, that, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah, I liked his attitude as well, Solo, in there, because he was gutsy, wasn't he, until he obviously won quite easily in the end, but he just had to show a bit of guts earlier on, didn't he?
He did, because she wasn't going away, was she? Essa Tariq, who, when she goes back against her own sex, probably back home in France, is going to be very hard to beat. So a good international flavour to the first race, France 1-2, Ireland 3.
The 340 was another of the big races on the card, the Kingston Stakes. It wasn't the fairy tale story for Soul Power getting the hat trick up in the race, and a bit of a surprise winner, really, making Gold Dream at 20-1.
It was a funny race, wasn't it? The thing was, Mark, that Take Cover was given a soft lead, and as it was, Adam Kirby didn't set great fractions. The reason the time was so good is because they were all finishing so well, whereas normally they're sort of falling in the hole because they've gone so fast early, but they didn't. It didn't suit quite a lot of horses. Soul Power for one, Pearl Secret for another, Jack Dexter, all unsuited by that sort of just okay early part. I mean, they weren't hanging about, but they weren't going breakneck, you know.
Yeah. And 20-1 and 50-1, the SPs are the first two. What would you take out of the rest, though, Mick?
We know there's not that much between the top 10 in the 5 furlong brigade. I think it just depends on the day and how the races pan out, so we'll just have to keep an open mind on that one. But well done to Gold Dream, another big race winner for Oasis Dream.
Yeah,
and Robert Cowell.
Yeah, he's very good with sprinters, isn't he, Robert Cowell?
He is.
The 420 was the St James's Palace Stakes, went the way of Glen Eagles. He was 8-15 in the betting, and he's done it nicely, hasn't he?
He has, back to something like the performance he put up in the Argonne's. I didn't think he was as impressive in the Irish Guineas. It looked a bit of a laboured effort, but he still got the job done, which is what you want to see. They can win ugly, good horses, and he did win ugly in the Irish, but he was back to his imperious best yesterday. I just wish they'd stop hyping him up as the best mile they've ever had. We just look at the roll call, you know, over the years. I mean, let him go and do it first, but there you are.
And all in all, really, he hasn't been too much in the rest, has he, really?
No, exactly. So, you know, well, you'll see what he's made of when he takes on the elders, won't we?
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you in the day? Yeah. Ryan Moore had a pretty good day, didn't he?
He did, tremendous. And all three different contrasting rides as well, winning the Ascot Stakes for Willie Mullins and the Jockey's Wives Club, apparently, involved in that. Interesting little, I don't know if you noticed this, Mark, but in the Coventry, Mark Johnson and Richard Hannon had five of the first six home.
Really?
The Irish was the other one, Aidan O'Brien's. And, well, the Irish was second and seventh, and Richard Hannon and Mark Johnson had five of the first six. So whether it means anything or not, I don't know. But it, I just caught my eye, and I thought it was worth mentioning.
What did you make of Burattino? Because he'd obviously had quite a few starts going into it. Very impressive at Epsom, but I was slightly concerned that he might be a bit more exposed than he should have been.
Well, he's certainly exposed, wasn't he? 77th start, but he just goes from strength to strength, isn't he? I mean, he races with so much zest and enthusiasm, doesn't he? I mean, we saw that at Epsom, and William Buick couldn't pull him up, just got him pulled up in time before they hit that barrier around the corner. And it was nearly the same at Ascot. Tremendous attitude this horse has got, and it was just such a exuberant performance again. And you'd have to think he's got a good chance of getting a mile, because his pedigree suggests he could well. I mean, his style of racing is so visually impressive. You think, well, will he get much further? Does he need to go any further? But the pedigree suggests he might. So interesting to see what they do.
It will be, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. So that's a look back at day one. We're going to look ahead now to day three, and we'll get mixed thoughts in the first four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start Thursday's action with the 2:30 at Royal Ascot. This is the Norfolk Stakes, a Group 2 over 5 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. King of Rooks heads the market at 4-5, 5-2 for Logout Island, Shanghai Glory 12s, 14s for Jazz Legend and Zebstar, 16s for Waterloo Bridge, and 25s or bigger for the others. So an odds-on favourite there, Mick. You can kind of see why. Do you think he wins?
I don't necessarily think so. I think Reggie Hannon has certainly got the key to it. Logout Island just had the one start and ran to a good figure, and he was listed company, wasn't it? And the form was very well advertised by Burattino in the Coventry on Tuesday. But on the other hand, the once raced Logout Island, the stable companion, had Burattino 5.5 lengths back in third over this course and distance in April. The fourth finished second last time, and finish second to Burattino next time, which gives a very tight link in. There's no way King of Rooks should be odds on against Logout Island, Mark.
Okay.
I think he'd be better value.
So you take Logout Island, the Richard Hammond pair. What would you be worried about beyond those two?
Not
is there anything?
Ajaya caught the eye at Nottingham, not given a hard time, and will repay the kindness, but the form isn't on the same planet as the other two. No, this is definitely a Hammond benefit. It's just which way you play it, but I Logout Island could be anything on that, and he's got the course and distance experience to boot as well.
Yeah, 5-2 versus 4-5, so Logout Island could be a bit of value maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
In the 2:30, we'll move on to the 3 or 5 next, the Tercentenary Stakes, which was the Hampton Court Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. This one is for the 3-year-olds, and the market headed by Time Test, who's 9-4, 9-2 for Peacock, 6s for Bocca Bacchiata, 9-1 for Cape Clear Island and Decenio, 14s for Maftool, Master Apprentice, Mustadim, Nafaka, and Not So Sleepy, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. How do you see that one going, Mick?
Well, the market's got this a bit lopsided, hasn't it? I mean, I know Time Test looked like a group horse masquerading as a handicapper on his Newbury reappearance, and he's entitled to come on for that after the absence. But he's up against a filly here who's performed with credit in Group 1 company. Bocca Bacchiata is ridiculously overpriced, Mark.
I agree.
She's the class dropper. She's chased home Please Catch the last twice. You know, this is Group We're talking.
Oh, she beat Please Catch in an oven and then chased her home at
the
Curragh.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're talking about Group One form here. Time Test is coming out with a handicap. He may well prove better than he's shown so far, and he obviously will. But this filly's a proper Group 1 filly who gets the £3 weight for age. The only filly in the lineup, she'll relish the step back up in trip. The Guineas was no good to her, the mile. I think she's going to prove very hard to beat. And don't underestimate Peacock either, who, don't forget, was second to Golden Horn in the Fielding, but went on to land that listed Newmarket next, showing he's going the right way. And he's not going to go down without a fight either. And he's rated £6 higher than Time Test. I just do not get that betting, Mark.
No, it's... I agree with you. Bocca Bacchiata over a mile and a quarter is a She's a rock solid 3-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, she can, you know, she's as tough as teak as well. You know, she's ridiculously overrated, I think. Underrated there by the odds compilers.
All right, bit of value in that one as well. And Boko Bakiata at 6-1 in the 3/5. We move on to the 3:40 next, which is the Ribblesdale. This is a Phillies Group 2. It's over a mile and a half. This one also for the 3-year-olds. And the market headed by Pleashkak, who's 4-5, 6-1 for Pomona, 13-2 for Kirby, 9-1 for Gretchen, and 10s or bigger for the others. If you're signing with Boko Bakiata in the last race, Mick, you must quite like the form.
You could well get a boost, Pleashkak. Yeah. Mark has gone from 99 to 113 already this season, and found only Bakiata too good for this season since her debut, and then landed the Blue Wind in the in Navan, and then the Irish Guineas, and I think on pedigree she should stay, and she'll be hard to beat if she does. But the market's found her all right, hasn't it? You mentioned Pomona. She's only rated 98, but she looks better than that. She met trouble when second at Newbury and Listed Company. But what? Again, why is Kirby the price is? She's unbeaten this season. She's beaten the Colts. She beat the Derby for Giovanni Canaletti in the Gallinule in the Curra. And Mark's risen already from 75 to 106 in 2015. And should have no problem staying this trip. And again, I just think they've underestimated her.
Do you think there's a slight concern with the ground with her? Obviously, all her best forms come on yielding and softer surfaces.
There may well be. Who knows? She might be even better on a fast racing surface. I mean, Galileo seem to go on any ground, don't they?
Yeah.
So, and I don't think they'd be risking her if they didn't think that the conditions are right for her. I certainly think the market's they've gotten out of the market.
All right. Would it be something you'd look for on the pro race card? You could do it without the favourite there?
You definitely could, couldn't you? And I think that's the way I'd be looking at it, Mark, because she's not going to give up that unbeaten 2015 record without a fight, certainly without Ran Moore on board.
Fair enough. And on to the final race we're going to look at, which is the big race of the afternoon. It's the 4:20 at Royal Ascot. This is the Gold Cup, part of the British Champions Series, a Group 1 over 2.5 miles, and the betting headed by Forgotten Rules, who's 5-2. It's 4-1 for Mizu. Vonderforce is 8-1. 9s for Bathiron. Attack de Boitron is at 10-1 with Trip to Paris. 11s for Kingfisher and 12s for Simenon, and it's 14s or bigger for the others.
I had to give you two previews for this, Mark. One if it rains and one if it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. The ground's going to be so key in this, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Forgotten Rules might not even run, might he, if the ground's too fast. And the ground's getting quicker by the end. Today is supposed to be the hottest day of the week at Ascot. So.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously going the right way, and Dermot, the master trainer, at planning one out for a race like this, but I'm concerned about the ground for him. We'll just leave him to one side for the moment and talk about one or two others. Mizu and Vonderforce are both rapid improvers, aren't they? Mizu went from 85 to 106 in 2014. That showed the level of his improvement. And he definitely will improve for his reappearance after 208 days off when he won the Sagaro here, beating Vonderforce. Could be the key race to this. Vonderforce come out and frank the form of the Sagaro next time. Former Melrose winner at York, of course, made all to win the Henry II at Sandown, and showed he was going the right way after that excellent reappearance here. So they're two young kids on the block, if you like, and an interesting contender is Bathiron, who's trained by Pierre Brandt in France. Maxime Guyon has been in the winner's enclosure already, is in the saddle. And he's not a bad horse, this, you know. He's a proper Group 2 stroke. Well, he's been second in a Group 1. But he's a good horse. He's not just, you know, he's not just masquerading in these. He's the real deal. And, again, although that was good ground the day he was second in Longchamp behind High Jinx, that's it. And, I think he's going to outrun his price, Mark. Have we got a price for him?
Yeah, Bathiron is, if you bear with me a second, 9-1.
Well, there you are. and might even ease out to a double figure price on the day. I think he's certainly the each way angle of the race, Bathiron. If you had to nail me now, I'd say Mizu, probably, because I think there's probably a bit more improvement from him with that just being his first start of the season, whereas Van der Force, which there's not much between on the book, has had the second run. But you know the way that Kamani operates, he'll have had his eye on this for a while, and at this moment in time, I'd go with Mizu. But if it rained all night, it could be a completely different race by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, if it rains, I would be with Forgotten Rules. Yeah. But I'm in agreement with you, really. Mizu on a fast surface, yeah. The form of the Sagara looks strong. It's a race that works out well with the Gold Cup in the past.
I mean, and of course, if it does rain, Tacta Boitron comes into it as well.
Just to make it more complicated.
There's two races in one here, depending on the weather.
Yeah, okay, so keep an eye on the going and see what happens there. Let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, we're going outside the box. It's always a dangerous thing to do at Royal Ascot, especially when the four books stood up quite a bit yesterday. But I'm going with Log Out to Ireland in the Norfolk States. Richard Hannon looks to have it nailed to the floor, this one. But the market is probably going to favour the other one. But Log Out Ireland could represent a bit of value. In the 305, the only filly in the lineup gets the vote for me, Boca Bacchiata, who seems to be forgotten by the bookmakers, despite the fact that she's got rock solid Group 1 form. And, she's basically taken on horses who've got it to prove at group level. And she's an each way price. I don't get it. But there you are. The Ribblesdale for the fillies, the Group 2. Please Catch is going to be all the rage in the betting, and again another forgotten one in the betting is Curvy, who beat Derby 4th Giovanni Canaletti in the Gallen Old Stakes. And she's going forward at a rate of knots. So Mark's gone from 75 to 106 already this year, so she's not to be underestimated, as long as she handles the ground. And in a wide open looking Gold Cup, I think Mizu is open to any amount of improvement after that impressive reappearance in the Sagara.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Superb. Enjoy it, and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on day 3 of Royal Ascot. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio. We go live from 1:30 p.m. with extended build-up, and Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and John Budden will be in the studio. A good day to look forward to. At the Royal Meeting, we've also got Chelmsford City and Ripon in the afternoon. Foslas, Leicester and Lingfield will provide the action in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.